I've seen people actually, you know, I gave them a vape. They start vaping. They quit smoking. Now they go from 12 milligram. They go to 9 milligram. They go to 6, 3 milligram. And they eventually even stop vaping. So they completely quit. You know, other people, you know, every person is different, of course. Some people will go back to smoking. Some will not. You know, it's like everybody has his own road to success. But you have to want it yourself. But vaping really makes it easy. There's nothing easier than like inhaling something and exhaling. So you still got the habit, though.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hello and welcome, Vic, to the World Vapers Alliance podcast, Vaping Unplugged. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Very exciting to be here, of course. The World Vapers Alliance is a big world-renowned organization that fights for the right to vape and flavor. So, yeah, I'm stoked to be here. I'm doing great. I love vaping just like you guys and flavors. So, yeah, nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Mariam.
Thank you. And I'm also very excited to have you here. Thanks for joining. So now, before we move to discussing vaping in depth, could you introduce yourself, what you do, and also what is your story in vaping? How did you start vaping?
Okay, well, at the moment, I'm a truck driver and a YouTuber. So I do product reviews and live streams with a little bit of advocacy in the live streams as well. And my story into vaping, it's quite long. Started like probably 8 years ago. I was actually still smoking weed and tobacco. And I was on a holiday to my parents that live in France. I live in the Netherlands. And I was not allowed to smoke in the house. So my mother bought me my first e-leaf little vape there. Because she was a vapor without flavors. She vaped without flavors, though. But she bought me my first little vape there. And so I could vape in the house. I kind of enjoyed that. Then later on, when I went back to the Netherlands, it dropped out of the truck. Of course, the tank is of glass. It got completely destroyed. And a couple of years, I just continued smoking weed. Didn't smoke tobacco, but only weed. Then in 2021, I wanted to quit smoking weed. So just stopped smoking weed. And I started smoking more again because I was not smoking weed anymore. So then I picked up vaping because I missed kind of the flavor of the weed. So I picked up flavored vaping. And then by accident, because I started smoking less as soon as I started vaping, maybe 2 cigarettes a day, like 2 or 3, like the first one at the coffee, you know, after dinner, those special moments. And then one morning I just woke up, I rolled my own cigarette, light it up, and like, that's not. Put it away. There's my vape. Yay. You know, never touched a cigarette again. So I'm smoke free since 2021. So that's a yay. Yay moment. And I continued vaping. And I like the big fat clouds with much flavor and stuff like that. And I started watching YouTubers like to see what kind of products I could try out next. And saw some rebuildables there. And like, hey, you can build your own coils. Oh, wow, that's even cheaper. So I started like, ordering rebuildable stuff and trying it out. And here in my studio, I would set up like a little desk with me, a little build table there, and becoming a hobbyist vapor like this. And then I was like, I'm trying out all these products, you know, and why not? Why not make videos about it? All the products I'm testing, share my opinions and my experiences with other vapors. So I started my YouTube channel in Dutch, my native language. And then like until May, I reached like 125 subscribers, which isn't much. And I went to the Hall of Vape in Germany, this big expo. You heard of it, I guess. it's a great event. I bought their together with my girlfriend, we bought the Hokui, a €600 device, including tanks, like really high end. And Yeah, they asked me, yeah, can you do also do a video for us? So I started doing two languages now, and Dutch and English. And then, yeah, after a couple of videos, I noticed like the Dutch videos are not getting watched. So, the English videos are getting way more views. I don't need the Dutch videos anymore. So now I'm complete, English language channel. And up like 2.4K subscribers. So I'm doing quite well. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you have a very successful YouTube channel, and like I really want to know. I really want our audience to get to know what is it about exactly, and also what really motivated you to start your own channel.
Yeah, that's, as I just said, like, yeah, I want to share my experience. Like, I want to help people find the right device for them, you know? And what how I watched other YouTubers to find my devices, you know, like find their opinions. And you don't watch one YouTuber, you're going to have to watch a couple ones. Because, yeah, if you want a certain device, you have to find a YouTuber that matches your style of vaping. Because there are so many ways of vaping, from MTL, restricted direct, long to direct long. You got this different kinds of flavors, different kinds of nicotine strengths. Okay, I want to do my contribution there, also do some videos on battery safety, you know, how to use the device and help people out, and also, yeah, to advocate a little bit on vaping, because, like, yeah, we're in a pinch at the moment. We're being attacked by all sides. Even YouTube is attacking us now. I recently got demonetized on YouTube for harmful content. They are thinking I'm selling either drugs, alcohol, or tobacco, but I'm just showing how harm reduction tools work. So, yeah, of course, I'm appealing it, but I'll probably be declined. But I have to appeal it to show that I'm not satisfied with their decision, you know?
Yeah, but that can be framed as advertisement on YouTube, I guess. So, yeah. You gotta be careful with that.
Well, there are certain rules. You can't show any QR codes. You can't show any websites. And I follow all those rules. So it's like, yeah, YouTube doesn't like vaping, but it does like people watching.
You mentioned that you also do a little bit of advocacy. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, we have every Sunday, or 10th Sunday, we have a live show. Michael Landal was on our show once, so that was a big, huge hour of advocacy, of course. But, like, yeah, we have a section called News and Advocacy. So if we find some news, we show the news. If it's negative or positive, doesn't matter. And then we make our comments, share our opinions, our thoughts of it, on it. So, yeah, even today, today is Sunday when we're recording this. So today we're also talking about something just happened in the Netherlands, that the 14 kids got hospitalized, and they say it's because of vaping.
Yeah, so negative and positive. Yeah, what's the real situation in Netherlands right now when it comes to vaping?
Oh, it's really bad. Like a couple of years ago, they started an online sale ban. So sales from a distance is not allowed, even not to other countries. So that closed down a couple shops that couldn't keep their head above water because, yeah, they were like most of their sales were online. So that this also is like very bad for people living in the smaller villages that don't have a vape shop, because they will be turning to the illicit market, the black market. And, you know, on the black market, you actually don't, you have no clue what you're getting. So there is no regulation, the products are not checked, they're just being sold. So that's all really, really bad, because in the stores you have regulated products. Like here in the Netherlands, they have to go to scientific research before getting on the market. So that's really bad. Then the 1st of January this year, they have a flavor ban. So we have a list of 12 ingredients that can be in the liquid. And even like Miller, the big manufacturer, you know, of the e-liquid here in the Netherlands, says, yeah, you cannot even make a proper tobacco flavor out of these 12 ingredients. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. So there are no taxes, luckily, but actually shops are allowed to show any products Some of them still do, though. But they cannot have anything on display, not even behind the counter officially, though. So, yeah, that's really bad. It's like, and even the shops, they to have to see, be able to sell vaping products, they need the tobacco license. So some shops are now selling cigarettes, and that's like blasphemy to me. Like seeing a vape shop with cigarettes inside, it's not something I like to see, though. And yeah, this for the for me, this I take it personally because I want everybody in my country to have the same chance I had. So when I started vaping, there were flavors everywhere. Like, I'm not concerned about the people already vaping because they will get their flavors no matter what because they are already vaping. But some people are still dual using. They just went back to cigarettes, and that's a bad thing. You don't
exactly. We all have our favorite flavors, right? And we want to keep them available. Speaking of that, what's your favorite flavor?
Oh, that changes all the time. I'm now really crazy about this Genoese pistache. It's like a pistachio cake. Yummy. I like I started really getting into dessert flavors. But when I started, it was really fruity and candy flavors that really got me, like watermelon, kiwi, or strawberries, banana, you know, all those kind of really sweet things. But now I'm really liking, now I'm getting into ripe vapes. This flavor, just got this recently. Sweet Gambit. This is like an apple. That's an apple pie flavor. Mm.
So these flavors are still available in Netherlands now?
No, the flavors are not available in the Netherlands. I have to import everything I vape to the nowadays.
Okay, I understand. I can imagine how difficult that could be. Like, for example, me, when I started vaping, I started with tobacco flavor because I was a smoker. So when I quit, I wanted that tobacco flavor. But then after a year, I did not even want to remember the tobacco flavor. So now I cannot even imagine going back to tobacco flavor.
One tobacco flavor I like, though, the Rebel Bogan. But it's a tobacco and plum, so that's it got something added. And I like this in an MTL setup, but tobacco flavor in a direct length stock setup, no, it's not gonna go well with me. But I imagine I help a lot of people like transition to vaping. Like if somebody is smoking and they have their birthday, I'll buy them a vape and some liquids, you know. I'll put one tobacco flavor with some like caramel tobacco or something that's not allowed here in the Netherlands. But I'll manage to get it for them and in the hope that they can transition to something that doesn't, if you start vaping, at a certain moment you're gonna be used to watermelon, kiwi, or a dessert flavor, you know, or coffee maybe, also have coffee flavored vapes. But you don't want to go back to the cigarette flavor anymore because that's the thing you're moving away from. And it's like here in the media, they always say like the youth is starting to vaping and this is a stairway to real smoking. But I can't imagine somebody who's vaping something strawberry. You want them, oh, nice, a tobacco cigarette. Yummy. No, that's definitely never going to happen.
Only vapers would know that.
No. Yeah, exactly. But the people who make the rules are not vapers, so that's the problem.
So honestly, like Netherlands is known for one of the most progressive harm reduction policies when it comes to drug harm reduction, right? At least cannabis harm reduction. So what motivates the policymakers there to impose harsh regulations on vaping? What do you think? What is behind it?
But well, we're making cigarettes more expensive, and that's a lot of money. The cigarettes became so expensive that people are massively going to Luxembourg or Germany to buy their cigarettes. So they're losing a lot of revenue. They'll use the youth as a selling point. And yeah, if I look around me, I see a lot of kids vaping. Yes, I see less kids smoking, which is actually good because in my day of age, all the kids are smoking. So smoking rates are going down. So, yeah, I think, that's just making it difficult. And all the media is, like, not really helping all the negative news. like the media only says like vaping is bad, it might be even worse than smoking. Well, it actually isn't, because but they are not doing the science. And when there is some positive science about vaping, there's no media is like not picking it up, because like the positive things that doesn't sell for the media, I guess. It's the negative things, the big headlines, you know, that gets people attention. And like the majority of people actually think vaping is as harmful or maybe even more harmful than an actual cigarette. I basically have a sort of discussion with somebody I don't even know about like vaping, because they see me vaping and they'll start like, isn't that worse than smoking? And I'll try explaining it like politely, but if there's going to be a big discussion on never, you think what you think, you know, you cannot get mad at these people for believing the media though. So it's really difficult for the vapers now.
You just mentioned this misinformation that people believe that vaping might be more harmful than smoking, while it's the other way around. Are there any other dumb myths in the population that you would want people to know that this is not true?
Come again? I don't want any.
Are there any other myths in the community that you would want people to know that what you guys believe is not true about vaping?
Yeah, I want some other media to like explain it, like making it clear to the public, like there's no cancer in nicotine. The cancer comes from all the other, there's like 7,000 of chemicals coming out of a combustion cigarette, you know? When you light it up, there's like a lot of chemical reaction. There's tar and other stuff coming out of a cigarette. Well, in a vape, there's only VG, PG, nicotine, and the aromas. So probably the worst thing in the vape is maybe the aromas, certain combinations, maybe. But it's definitely better than smoking. I can feel it. I have more breath. You know, I feel better. I live more healthy since I stopped smoking. We vapers, we feel that. But the smokers think, oh, no, this is safer.
You know? Exactly. Nope. Everyone that experienced that switch will know that you feel better, you breathe better, you exercise better, your food tastes better, and everything. But for some reason, I don't know why policymakers around the world usually want people to stop smoking cold turkey, while it's almost impossible, right? For us,
it's impossible. Yeah, they want you to use a nicotine patch or something from the pharmacy, or I've seen people actually, you know, I gave them a vape, they start vaping, they quit smoking. Now they go from 12 milligram, they go to 9 milligram, they go to 6, 3 milligram, and they eventually even stop vaping. So they completely quit. You know, other people, you know, every person is different, of course. Some people will go back to smoking. Some will not, you know. It's like everybody has his own road to success, but you have to want it yourself. But vaping really makes it easy. There's nothing easier than, like, be inhaling something and exhaling. So you still got the habit, though.
Exactly, because smoking is habitual, and you want to replace that habit with a healthier habit first. And then if you can complete, like, this is why vapes were designed, right? For people, for smokers to completely gradually stop smoking afterwards.
Yeah. I think it was by somebody in China who invented vaping, lost his father to smoking and cancer, and then he created vaping. And look at us now. We got all kinds of devices here.
A question that I'm very curious about, since you reviewed the products and it's been years that you've been close to the devices, like, do you see some like really big innovative changes in the devices? And if so, how are they developing?
The flavor is getting better in certain devices. This is a very recent device here, the Raiden by BD Vape. And for a sub-ohm kit, this is very flavorful. So for a big cloud machine, the technology and flavor, there's see some movements in temperature control pod systems. I don't have one now here around me. Really see like this device having a touchscreen. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Looks very vibrant and very responsive touchscreen, which really makes it easy to control the pod device, actually adding something, not being a gimmick. But yeah, I saw some crazy innovation in a disposable vape that is actually like a smartwatch and you can play games on and stuff like that. And I think that is that taking it a little bit too far. Even the media have seen this. And they are like, demonizing vaping because, like, look how addictive it is. It has games. It has games. It connects with your phone. You can call with it. There was this woman in the news. She says, to progress in the game, you have to take a couple puffs, which is not true, you know. But they are saying things to make it sound even worse. It's crazy. But, yeah, I think having a smart device on a disposable vape that you throw away later, I think it's ridiculous, you know. it should have been a smart device with a pre-filled pod system or something. That would have made it like you keep it, you know.
I don't know if you agree, but I have a feeling that disposables are very good for people that haven't switched yet. They are not ready to buy their own devices, so they are still testing.
Disposable is like a double-edged sword, you know. It's like, yeah, it's necessary there before people want to try out vaping. It's like €7 for a disposable. They can try it out. If they don't like it, it's probably the Nixalt, and then they actually need FreeBase, though, I tell them always. But, it's also, it's really stigmatizing vaping because all the kids are using the illegal disposables. But I think it still needs to be there. You know? Imagine somebody being blind or suffering from Parkinson's disease. How would he fill up a pod? You know, you can't do that, you know. These people also smoke, right? So, yeah, it should be there. But it shouldn't be so widely available, though. Like, it should be, like, in the specialized shops, you know. And these shops should be, like, if somebody comes, like, for his tent device, like, hey, okay, you really like vaping. Maybe this device is something for you. You can choose your own liquid, you know, like, the shop should be more invested in like transitioning people from a disposable to a device. The shops, most of them, not all, but most of them will only do this if the customer will ask it themselves, you know.
But sometimes customer might not even know, so that's why we need educated people in the shops to help them make the right decisions, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
You have your own vision of how tobacco harm reduction should look like. Could you like elaborate on that?
Yeah, everybody should have the chance I had with flavors, you know, even if they would sell, it should be like Sweden. Mm-hmm. It should be like Sweden. Sure. Sweden, you know, Sweden is very successful. Their smoking rates are below 5% now. And it's because they promoted the harm reduction. You know, when you go there to a gas station, you first will see vapes before you even see cigarettes, you know. Here in the Netherlands, you don't even see cigarettes. There are behind doors, and then they grab one and close the door again. It's also better. But yeah, tobacco harm reduction, everybody should have the chance. The media should like promote harm reduction instead of destroying it, you know. Everybody should be able to get snus or a vape or whatever fits their bill, you know. I use snus if I know I'm not being able to vape for 4 hours. I'll bring some snus with me, you know, when I have like school, because as a truck driver, sometimes you need some. You need a certain amount of hours schooling each 5 years. So I'll be in the class all day and I'm not put one in and not disturbing anyone.
Yeah, that's very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, I'm allowed to vape now while recording this.
Very much so. Moving forward in the future, do you have any plans for your advocacy, for your YouTube channel?
No, I had some contact with Michael again. He's like forwarding me to somebody because I want to, because I'm a truck driver. I drive through the whole country, so I can see a lot of vape shops. And I asked him to send me some folders or brochures about the ambassador program. And I want to see if one of our vape shops wants to join the ambassador program of the WVA, you know, because there is no ambassador in the Netherlands. I checked your world map. I'm like really disappointed. Yeah. So that's a little thing, of course, in my live show. If anybody who's an advocate or has a call to action or a petition or a call to do testimonials, they are welcome to come in my show. You know, anybody from the VVA, any other organization. I'm working together with American YouTubers, UK YouTubers, Spanish YouTubers, Indian YouTuber, and even one guy from Switzerland. So, like, yeah. We might even get somebody from the Indian Association on our show one day. The Indian guy is working on that because he's a member there. So that's pretty cool. Because, yeah, in India, their vaping is completely out banned. And there are a couple other countries as well. It's really, really ridiculous. And I think we all should band together. Like, if doesn't matter if you're a reviewer or a promoter or an advocate or an activist. We're all fighting for the same harm reduction, and we should all work together. That's my opinion. Like, if we have differences, they don't matter. One thing we agree on, and that's all that we need, you know?
Exactly. And honestly, like, speaking of India, like, what from my own experience, what I've noticed is that when I travel to those countries where vaping is heavily banned, I see that don't go away. It's just black market driving.
Yeah, it's like, exactly that.
I was in Thailand recently where you could go to prison for vaping. And like in every corner, you see these like small vape booths where people still sell. People still vape, of course, trying to hide from the police, but still. But then you are vaping and you don't know what you are vaping.
Exactly. You don't know what's in these illicit products. I've seen this. My name on social media is Vaping Big. So all these like illicit markets are trying to, hey, we got these vapes. They showed me all these pictures. And I'm like, no, that's not an official brand. I know what the good brands are. And I see kids also, like, they have these like little like bubble teacups. They open up something, comes a little straw out of it. Like crazy designs, like... You don't know, maybe it's laced with fentanyl or something. It's not regulated. You don't know what's in them. So yeah, that's why kids may be getting in the hospital because of bad legislation here. You know, if you ban something, doesn't mean it disappears. It moves to the black market. On the black market, there is nobody controlling or like checking what's in these vapes. You don't know what's in them. You don't know what these kids are vaping. It could be maybe THC or something, vitamin A acetate. You don't know what's in there, though. You know, if you know, at least if you have a Geek Bar or SKA Crystal or like those Lost Marys, those well-known A brands. You know, yeah, you know, you have a good juice in the side of that. You know, I've been sent products. I take two puffs and I. Doesn't feel on my throat. I'll recycle the whole vape. I don't even start vaping it because I get sent products. Often, not often, but sometimes. And I have to forward to certain someone some products because I'm helping him getting his product to get the reviews out. And don't like them, all of them. I don't even review disposables. At least when they approach me, I'm telling them, I'll tell them a very high price for the review. So I'm sure they won't. And if they do, okay, I can make some money though. But I prefer to do the open system. Pod kits are not my favorite, but they are really easy on the pocket, you know. But I like open systems where you can choose your liquid, you know what's in them, or even maybe DIY your own liquid, you know, you can do that. I have enough liquid behind me for a couple of years, so I'm safe.
So I know there was like a very big discussion.
Oh, about wait, my sound stopped.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you again. Okay. My sound sometimes goes in sleep mode. I don't know why.
No worries. We will edit this out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've heard that there was like a really big discussion about people trying to make their own liquids. And some people would say that it's unsafe. What do you have to say about that?
No, if you know what you're doing, it's never unsafe. You have to do your research before you start doing it. And there are plenty of YouTube channels that are like specialized in DIYing your liquid, where you can ask all the questions you need. It's like using a mechanical mod. You do your research first. You learn about which flavor brands you can use for vaping and stuff like that. And yeah, you do research. Then you know what you do. It's not that hard, though. Maybe start with like a long fill, you know, it's like a pre-filled aroma. You just add your BG, VG, and your nicotine, you know, and then you're almost DIYing, but it's not like adding a little bit of pear, a little bit of caramel, and a little bit of apple, you know. And you have all these websites with all the information, but you have to do your research. It's the same with a mechanical vape like this, you know. You know, if you use something like this, which looks very beautiful, of course, it matches my name there on the bottom, you know, in color. But yeah, there is no safeties in a mechanical mod. There are a lot of countries that's not allowed to sell those. But yeah, you are the safety, you know, you need to know what you're doing. It's like, but even in a regulated device with this, with an external battery, you still need to think about battery safety, you know. If your battery wrap is damaged or something, you have to rewrap it or replace the battery, whatever is easier for you.
Because you don't want. So it's all about educating yourself and then trying to do something yourself. I agree, and also like the process sounds very interesting and exciting to me. I've never tried to mix my own liquids.
I have not had the time to do it, though. I see those channels and I chat with them. I had Hunky Vapes from the United States on my live show. And hey, come on, do a live mix, I told him, yeah, because he always does it on his show. And he took over the whole show with his live mixing. It was really fun. People like, even the American guy on my show, who's completely a disposable guy, he was like, watching what's happening over there. He goes really into it. So yeah, it's interesting. Like, if you really like certain flavors, and like it sounds like a lot of fun, you know. But yeah, you need to get like all these flavorings, the PG, VG, and then you make your liquid. And then depending on what kind of flavors you use, you need to wait maybe 2 weeks or maybe 2 months. You know, it's how complicated the flavor, more complicated the flavor, how longer it needs to steep, like those dessert flavors or tobacco flavors, they need to steep very long. Like a candy and fruity flavor can be done in a couple of weeks, though. So yeah, it's very interesting.
Wow. So it just reminded me a little bit of like winemaking.
Yeah, it's basically the same, only you don't have to crush all the grapes with your feet.
Amazing. Vic, we will definitely link your channel in the description so people, our listeners, can check it out. But before we wrap it up, do you have any advice for our members, our ambassadors? Like, what would you tell them? How to better advocate for right tobacco harm reduction?
Well, if you're an ambassador, you're in the vape selling business, you know. So yeah, if there's any call to action for to fight a tax or a flavor ban, you know, if somebody walks in your store and he says, I want that flavored liquid over there, you say, okay, sign this petition first, please, if you want to keep that flavor, and then you get your liquid. You know, play hardball. Let people sign that petition in your region. We got to fight it together. If you don't tell your customers there is a ban, a flavor ban, or a flavor or a liquid tax coming by the government, you have to advocate that to each customer all the time. So yeah, and also yeah. If there's any call to action by any advocate group, also you guys, you know, come join my live show on a Sunday. Reach out to me. We'll make an appointment. Get anybody on the show, you, anybody else. Come join the show. Advocate there. Because as a YouTuber, I'm the bridge between advocacy, the companies, and the community. So, like, yeah, we mix fun with education all the time on the show. So, yeah. So, yeah, sure, to reach out, come on the show. Do what you can. Like, yeah, invest some time in it, because especially if you're a vape shop owner, your livelihood, your income is all reliant on your vape sales. So if it gets crazy expensive, it's going to be awful, because now in Spain also there's coming a big vape tax now on everything. And it's ridiculous. It's getting more ridiculous in more places. It's awful.
Exactly. Like, sometimes they might keep the product available on the market, but if you make the tax so high, if you make vaping more expensive than smoking, then what are you doing? Like, you're gonna make cigarettes more accessible to people than vaping. And in many countries, that's an issue. Like, policymakers are making vaping more expensive than smoking.
Yeah. So my message to any government, stop killing your people. Stop killing your people.
that's like a motto for a new campaign.
Your people. Yeah. Well, you're giving your people cancer. Look at Sweden. They promoted harm reduction. Their smoking rates are going down. Their lung cancer rates are going down. This is not for nothing. It's because they are promoting and pushing harm reduction. So, yeah, I think the whole of Europe should watch at Sweden, copy what they did, and hope the rest of the world will follow. Because there is a lot going on. Even in America, there is like big lawsuits against the FDA because of the bad PMTA processes and stuff like that. So there are some little wins here and there, but yeah, and the media is like crushing us. Like, oh, that's negative news. Let's put that out there, you know. Yeah. So yeah, I hope vaping will win in the end, though. You know,
I have very big hope for that too. And let's end this on a positive note. Like, since Sweden achieved what they achieved, I think every country can do that, and Sweden should be an example of how we should save lives around the world.
Yeah, because vaping really saves lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Vic. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
It was fun. Thank you for having me. As soon as you post the video, I will promote it on my channel as well. So, hey, look me. I was there. Go check it out. You know?
Thank you. We'll be promoting each other.
You know?
Thanks for your time. And I hope we can keep cooperating on advocacy and everything else.
Yeah, sure. Come on my show one day. It would be fun. You meet the other guys. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you when it's ready.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It was fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.